welcome to another episode of the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This week we'll be looking back on last week's draw at Dumbarton, preview this weekend's vital home game with Queen's Park, and we'll break down the final three fixtures in the battle to avoid ninth place. I'm Colin Byers, and with me once again is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you this week?
Yeah, very good, thanks. Colin, yourself?
Not too bad. Enjoying the wintry weather we've been having again?
Yeah, we spoke a couple of weeks ago about the shorts coming out again for the football, and then the snow starts coming, so you can maybe retire the shorts again for a few weeks.
I think I totally jinxed that altogether. The Falkirk game put the shorts on, and then since then it's been absolutely a nightmare. Still waiting for this heat wave we were supposed to be getting.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get a heat wave, let's be honest.
We'll get it once the kids go back to school, lots of Hartman. But anyway, right, lots to bash on with. Before we touch on this last set of this game against the Barton, we will briefly touch on the previous game against Clyde, because we didn't get a chance to last week. And just because it was a win against Clyde, might as well mention it. 3-0. In the end, but I think it was a performance and a win that's been coming in the last few weeks.
Yeah, Jim's been saying it pretty much since the start of the turn of the year, that the performances have been good. We just kind of quite got the results, and everything sort of went for us on that particular day. I thought we're good, and then for the first time we put in probably our best performance of the season away at Clyde.
Yeah, front to back I think we were pretty good. Grant Savory, he got two very different goals, has to be said. One with a good bit of play in the edge of the area, and then a header, which probably he's not going to score many headers in his career, but it was good to see him getting the rewards for his fine performances.
Yeah, we've said for a few weeks now that Grant Savory has been one of our better players, and as you said, it was good that he's got a different variety of goals. He wouldn't have scored many with his head, but it's fine to see him adding a different style of goal, and also the left footed effort as well. So yeah, good to see him chipping in with a few goals. I think his performances have deserved it over recent weeks as well. As I said, I think he's been one of our better players, so it's fine that he's chipped in with a goal or two.
Hamish Ritchie got the other one as well, and again it's a combination of his good performances as well. That was then his fourth and seven for him, six in total now for the season, and again it's just good to see his confidence building as well.
Yeah, these guys are, they're two of our better attacking players. And you can see once they get a goal, their confidence starts to grow. Like, most players, once they get a goal, or if you're a defender, a clean sheet. And I think we're starting to see everything just gelling at the right time with the performance and the result. A couple of players chipping in with goals as well. So I think the Clyde game overall was a well-rounded, polished performance.
I think it's probably a contender for goal of the season as well.
Oh, I would think so, yeah.
It's been late on in the season, but I think it's one of those that will be certainly a contender anyway. One guy that I want to mention again, just because of his play, probably goes under the radar slightly as well, Naya Payne. Another two assists for him in that game. And again, it just shows you his work rate and how important he is to the team, even though maybe obviously the goals aren't there. But his contribution to the team is so much greater.
Yeah, Naya's a player that I don't think will he'll ever get you many goals in a season. But I think what he does add is a lot of different things throughout the team. I'm really glad to see he's chipping in with a few assists.
I think we mentioned as well a couple of weeks ago in terms of like a 90-minute performance. This certainly was. I think we've been critical after the 2-2 doing there previously, just before Christmas, the fact that we were 2-0 up, probably should have been 2 or 3 or 4 up. Played really well for 30-35 minutes, and then just lapses of concentration and obviously let Clyde back into it. But there was no signs of that. It was a pretty relentless and ruthless kind of performance.
Yeah, I think we've been burnt a few times this season by not putting in a performance more complete and over the 90 minutes. I think it's okay doing it in flashes within the game, but for you to get results in the game, you've got to do it on a more consistent basis and over a longer period of time in the game. And I think the Clyde game was a prime example of we got ourselves in front, we went 2-0 up, quite easy to maybe step back, take your feet off the gas a wee bit, but I think, as you said, we're burnt by that last time we were doing it at Clyde. So it was good that we kept going and, justifiably got the rewards for it.
And just allowing them, the home side, one shot on target for the whole game is quite a start. And it just shows you again how how good the performance is, as I said earlier, front to back.
Yeah, Clyde have been getting a fair bit of praise last, maybe in February, in the start of March, for how well they were doing. I think they've sort of come unstuck the last couple of weeks, but taking on away from our performance, we went down there, they're in great form either. I think even after the Clyde game last week, we certainly dragged them back into a potential battle. And you know they're struggling. We went doing a really good performance, and you know thankfully got the 3 points back up the road.
Yeah, 3 points was thoroughly deserved, and they thoroughly needed it as well. So on to last Saturday then, Dumbarton, the 1-1 draw. I think we kind of built this game up in, a few weeks ago, but how that this could be a defining game in our season. It really hasn't. I think it's really sort of going either way in terms of like we're out of it or we're still in it kind of thing, but I think it was a decent point in the end though.
Yeah, I think looking back in the whole game, I'm pleased to take a point. It's one of them games, it's another game chalked off, it keeps the gap as well. I think it was, to me, the primary thing for this game was don't lose it.
Mm-hmm.
I would have taken a point before the game, and the fact that we went a goal down as well quite early on, again, just cements my thoughts of take a point, get back up the road. Looking at Dumbarton's fixtures now as well, you know, I think we're happier with the point. I think Dumbarton really had to win it, if I'm being honest. Hopefully that doesn't come back to bite us. But, no, I think coming back up the road on Saturday, pleased with that point, to be honest.
It was a game that neither really was fully charged of. No, we spoke just about the Clyde game there, where it was a good 90-minute performance, so we'll relent on that. But tricky conditions, and I think neither side really were fully in charge of it.
I think neither team wanted to lose it. And it's quite easy to, you know, go into the game half-heartedly and think, well, yeah, if we can get a point, I think the fact that Dumbarton took the lead, they would have thought, well, obviously Peterhead needed to score two for us to lose the game. So I think overall they were... Neither team are really pushing the boat out to get the win. I think Dumbarton, they'll still look at it and go, well, there's still three games to go. We're still within touching distance. And we're also thinking we're still out of the ninth place. There's three games to go and it's another one chalked off. So I think both managers on the Sunday would have been looking at it thinking, yeah, probably would have taken a point before it.
There was two changes to this, the team that won against Clyde. Then Simon Ferry and Hamish Ritchie were the ones that dropped out through injury. Ryan Duncan came back in. And so did Russell McLean. So, slight change in the way that the players set up, which meant Naya moved over to the left, and McCarthy was in that sort of Simon Ferry role, if you like.
Yeah, it was changes. I'll say it was needed for injuries. Disappointing that Simon dropped out. I think since he's come in the last couple of weeks, we've looked a lot more assured at the back. I think his communication skill that we've said numerous times in the last 3 years kind of go unnoticed. And obviously Naya went wide left, and you know I thought he put in, as he always does, he put in a really solid performance.
Yeah, he does put in a shift, doesn't he? I mean, you could probably play him at left back, and he still put in a shift. But I think we mentioned a couple of weeks ago as well. I think he's more suited to playing through the middle rather than that wide areas, and I think maybe that's affected the performance, not just to him but the team as well.
Yeah, I think you could put Naya at right back. He's probably one of the few players that hasn't played at right back this season. But yeah, he puts in a shift no matter where he is. Like I said earlier on, he's now a player that's got to score you 20 goals a season. But he does create a nuisance being up top. He gives you something different to what Rusty does. And whilst I still think he puts in a really good shift wide left or on the right, I think you do lose a little bit of his game when he's now up top. I think he's really come into that in the last 3 or 4 months.
And Dumbarton got off to the perfect start. Obviously, it was a nightmare for us. Opening goal inside 5 minutes. And what a hit it was. No chance, really, for Brett Long in goal.
No, it's one of them. I think he's taken it, you know, really early. Maybe caught Brett out cold with it. As you said, really early in the game as well. Fantastic effort. It's one of them. You maybe see it go in the net once or twice out of ten, but he's hit it really well. Caught it nicely, and yeah, they took the lead. As I said, I think maybe Brett was caught unaware with it being so early.
And opening goal that early, and we've said it before as well about how crucial that can be. You know, the heads can go down, but didn't feel though this time round, you always felt that although we won, that kind of heads dropping didn't happen this time round, and everybody just seemed to kind of carry on and know that they were still in the game.
Yeah, I think results and performances the last couple of weeks sort of have helped with that. Obviously, we've got a few wins under the belt. Performances have been good. So even the disappointment of getting a goal down, even though it was as early as what it was, it gives plenty of time to get back in the game. I didn't feel, even though Dumbarton took the lead, that they were ever going to be in control of the game. Because like I said, I thought, especially with the 3-0 down at Clyde the week before, I thought it really gave us a platform to build on in the game.
Yeah, Dumbarton had a lot of the play, a lot of possession, but a lot of corners as well. But they weren't really testing Brett, and I think that was what was keeping us in the game as well, the fact that they had a lot of the ball, but they weren't really doing much with it.
Yeah, I think that's credit to the team for their defensive work. We've been critical the last couple of weeks, or maybe just before that anything that was taking a shot at Brett's goal seemed to go in. So obviously, if they're not able to hit a shot on target, then they're not going to get a score. And I think defence has sort of come together the last couple of weeks with one and Jason Brown. Look more of a partnership since Jason's come back from injury as well. And so, like you said right at the start, everything just seems to be ticking over quite nicely at the moment.
Yeah, and Ross McLean's equaliser, Brian Duncan's corner, a goal from a corner, which is something we never haven't spoken too much about this season, but it's a typical Ross McLean header. And because it was a decent corner, he's been found, and once he's got his head on it, there's only got to be one outcome.
Yeah, I think adding goals from corners is something that maybe we need to look to improve on. We have been critical of that in the past, and rightly so. I think we did get nearly enough efforts on goal from corners, especially with the height that we've got in the team as well. I think it's probably something we could use more. But Russell McLean, really good header, important time in the game as well, just before half time. I think that kind of got underestimated as well, going into the break level, just gives that boys a little bit of confidence for the second half.
And he's always him back in the starting lineup after being out of the team for a few games, back in the lineup and scoring a goal, and that obviously that'll help his confidence as well.
Yeah, I think the fact that Maya has been playing well sort of kept Rusty out of the side. And we've spoken before that Rusty goes through periods in the season where he'll score a few goals and then you could really get nothing from him for five or six games. But yeah, he played well on Saturday, to be fair. I think maybe that spell on the bench is maybe just sort of refocus for the last couple of games of the season.
And it sounds like he hasn't been scoring a lot of goals, but he's got 14 now for the season, which, yeah. And he's our top goal scorer. So I mean, he has been one of those kind of players that has been chipping away. But as you said, maybe doesn't go in a run of sort of 2, 3, 4, 5 games in a row scoring goals, but will pick up a goal now and again.
Yeah, I think as harsh as it sounds, and I know he's our top goal scorer, I think his movement up top is maybe just that factor that if you the combination of Naya Payne's movement and work rate and Rusty's finishing, you would hear a really good striker. So I think that's maybe just been Russell's down point the last couple of weeks, maybe the movement and the energy up top. I think that's been more suited to Naya's game than it is Russell's.
And then you touched on it earlier, but I mean, how important was that goal right on half time? Because it completely changes back to the cliches again, but it changes the manager's half time team talks.
Oh, it was massive. I think if you go in 1-0 down at the break, you can almost envision what the team talk is going to be. But I think the fact that you've got that goal, that it's the Dumbarton team talk that changes their mentality as well, because they're thinking they're going to go in the break 1-0 up. And you know what? Managers and players, they'll be aware of their results going on around about this time of the season as well. They'll say they're not interested, but they are. We can know the way the social media and the internet works nowadays. You'll be fully aware of results happening elsewhere. And for them, if they were in the lead at half-time, it would have been a massive spring in their step. So the fact that we got back in level at half-time obviously just turns it into our favour. And like I said, it just the Clyde result as well, just everything just tightened up in there. So I think, going into the break was massive.
That's what you do. You're at work though. When you hit a break, you check your phone and see what's happening with the scores.
Exactly. Yeah.
They're probably just exactly the same. Second half then, and we looked at the obviously Dumbarton scoring early on. They could have scored early on again. Second half. Inches away for getting that second goal. And we said a few weeks ago about how things are going our way. Getting the luck and things like that. I mean, inches away for getting a second goal. But again, that just those little things are going for us now.
We went through a period in February where nothing went our way. And then things the last couple of weeks have just slowly started to turn. And we spoke about it a couple of weeks back that you just need a goal to go in off somebody's backside. And I think, obviously, the flip side of that is somebody missing just by a couple of inches. Whereas I think in February that would have either hit the post and gone in, or it would have just nicked it, and, you know, keeper and struggled to make a save. So things are just, whilst we're not out of the danger zone quite yet, I think everything is just sort of ticking along nicely in terms of the you know, our fortune changing a little bit.
And at the right time as well.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you're going at the business end of the season, as I say, and it's important that you're getting the performances, but also the results to back it up as well.
Ryan Duncan had an effort for Range. Again, it was saved with the keeper, and I think that was kind of where the turning point was. I think that with the help of the wind and things like that, everything was going towards right, and he had a couple of saves and just keeping his side in the game.
It wouldn't be our game against Dumbarton unless we spoke about the wind, would it? Really, in all the games that we've played. Yeah, it's that little bit of luck. And as you said, the wind was on our side in the second half, and maybe just unfortunate that we didn't get the winner.
Grant Savory came off, and he was replaced by Jack Brown. And I think we said before the Clyde game, I think he was unlucky that he was in the starting lineup. But I think when he came on in this game, he looked pretty good, and looked as though that goal against Falkirk has given him a bit of confidence, and it's helping him come along a bit, and certainly looked as though he was up for this one.
I think it's taken a lot of while for Jack to settle in. I kind of came in at the time that the team were sort of struggling, a few injuries and suspensions, and maybe playing to start with out of position. But I think he's starting to find his game now. Obviously he came off the bench, but I think now we're starting to see the good things that we've been hearing about Jack. We're now starting to see him doing a blue shirt for Peterhead.
And Gary Fraser got another 30 minutes under his belt as well, which is obviously mere minutes for him, and just the continuation of his rehab as well.
Yeah, it's brilliant to see. I don't know how close he is, but I don't think he'd be too far away from maybe getting a start. Granted, he wouldn't see it the 90 minutes, but I certainly think he might be close to getting a start and maybe getting an hour under his belt, which would be brilliant to see considering how far he's come in the journey through injury.
Yeah, Jack Brown and Ryan Duncan again, they both combined for the next effort, which Duncan had shot wide, and that combination of, you know, two guys at either side of the park and combining well, and Ryan, he's been unlucky. You know, he got that goal against East Fife on his debut, but he's been unlucky in not getting any more goals. And I think if he was to add goals to his game, you would see a really good player.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think he has been unfortunate. Just a couple of things haven't quite gone right for him. I think he obviously came in with an injury, and then he was out with COVID for a wee while as well. Then he was called up with the Scottish under-19s as well. So it's been a good season for him personally in that sort of sense. But the fact that just being slightly hampered with injuries and COVID, I think there's definitely a future talent in there. It's just trying to get the best of him, but it's been a stop-start season for him.
And when I say a really good player, he always is a really good player, but you could take that to the next stage and just be the all-round kind of player or finished article. Into the latter stages, I think both keepers had saves to make, but they were pretty comfortable saves in the end, and I don't think it was really... they weren't really being tested, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I think that was, especially the last 15 minutes, I think it was quite a cautious approach by both teams. I think both managers realised the importance of Neil losing the game. Because I think at this moment in time in the season, I think 7 points would just be too much to bridge for Dumbarton. So I think whilst both teams were trying to get a winner, they were also quite conservative with their midfield play in terms of players that were maybe pushing forward in the first half or sort of more conservative in the second half. So it was... you know, just getting that fine balance. Like I said, I think both managers have been satisfied with a point.
And mentioned the keepers, I mean, right to the death, Brett Longs had another fantastic save again, which obviously is huge, not just for that game, but for the season. And it was a big save. It's probably a point-saving save as well.
I think at the end of the season, you could probably look back on quite a few games that Brett's managed to keep us in the game. I know at one point in the season you were giving us a tally that he was the keeper with the most saves. Mm-hmm. It's good that he's making the saves, but on the flip side, they're getting the efforts on target against this. So it's that balance and that. But yeah, I think towards, you know, at the end of the season, if we do stay up, I think you know, a huge hand would go to Brett Long for the amount of saves that he's made at crucial times.
Yeah, I think he's won us maybe 8, 9, 10 points.
Yeah, anyway, easy, I would think.
And even though, you know, looks like we're going to finish 7th or 8th, maybe even I wouldn't say ninth, but seventh or eighth, he would still say that Brett was probably one of the players that you were going to put forward for as a contender for Player of the Year.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think the Hill team went through a bad form, you know, January, February, the start of March, and there was very few positives to pick Fate. But I think overall, if you take the season as a whole, I think Brett Long would certainly be a player up there that's definitely a contender for the Player of the Year.
So it did finish 1-1 in the end. It was points were shared, and I think maybe even at the beginning of the game we would have probably taken that, and given how the game went, it would probably be a fair result in the end.
Yeah, I was speaking to somebody at work on the Friday before it, and they were adamant that a draw wasn't a good result regardless of what happened in the game. I'd be interested to see what his thoughts were now, considering we're in a goal doom within, you know, the opening quarter of the game. So yeah, to me, I think it was one of them games, like I said at the start, it was one that we couldn't afford to lose. It just keeps Dumbarton just at arm's length, and I think, yeah, a point would have just about been the right result.
I think it's easy to kind of get hooked on the fact that, oh, we need to win, but the fact is, as you said, that keeps a 4-point gap, and there's like a game less now for Dumbarton to catch up that gap.
Yeah, I think also you've got the psychological factor as well, that Dumbarton will have felt that it was, you know, in-house. I'd imagine they'd be saying it's a game we've really got to win, try and, you know, close the gap to 2 points. And, you know, I think when you're always within a one-game swing, you know, nerves can kick in. But we're now down the last 3 games. Dumbarton really, they'd be thinking they need to find 7 points out of 9, which they hadn't really done over the course of the season. Mm-hmm. So I think for them to try and do over the next 3 games would be a challenge for them. But from our point of view, to me, I think we're just like one win away, you know, and we're safe.
Yeah, a loss probably would have been the most devastating result out of that situation. So again, we've got to look at it and say, as you said, it's another point in the bag, and it's just another one which just keeps us ticking over.
Yeah, definitely. If it was a point away to a team that that wasn't a Dumbarton, and I mean that Dumbarton could have closed the gap with a win, and you know that would have been their 2 points. The fact that it's a team in a boot, and like I said, that psychological factor as well, they'll be feeling it's a game that they really had to win. Yeah, I think coming up the road with a point, overall, the way the game went, the conceding an early goal, I think would have been a decent result.
Elsewhere then, East Fife, their loss means that mathematically we kind of finished 10th, which is obviously good. So we're now looking at trying to keep away from that 9th place, but if you look at East Fife, it's still mathematically possible, but I think they're pretty much down without really saying they're down, if you care what I mean.
I'm assuming they need to win every game and Peter Dumbarton to lose every game.
Aye.
And a goal difference swing as well.
Aye, the goal difference is massively against them as well, so it's that's almost another point added on.
Well, so you never rule anything out, in fact, but I would rule these 5 out.
Aye. In Clyde as well, I mean, they've lost as well, which now means that we're on a point behind them, incredibly.
Yeah.
It wasn't that long ago that we were sort of thinking, well, that's them clear of it. But yeah, they've just been sucked back into it again.
Yeah, I think I said to you a couple of weeks ago, it was maybe even on the recording, that I thought that was quite done. I thought it was two from three, but obviously us beating them down there last week, it's certainly drawn them back in. And I think, whilst I think that Clyde will be fine, I don't know any issues. They've maybe just got one eye over their shoulder. That they maybe just get dragged into it even further.
Well, they have only one win in 10, 4 losses in a row now, so I mean, it's just near the form that you need at this stage of the season.
Perfect time to be announcing Danny Lennon's new contract.
I know, that was a bit
odd timing, but yeah, it's maybe one of them just to appease things and take the you know, the factor away from how poorly they've done, as you said, one win in their last 10. You know, that form alone would suggest it's a relegation battle. But obviously they went through a really good run of results in November and December, and it just sort of just kept them clear.
So the league table at the bottom end, and Clyde have got 36, minus 18 goal difference, and this has got to be key, I think. Peterhead have got 35 points, just a minus 7 goal difference. Dumbarton 31, minus 22, and East Fife 23 on minus 35 a goal difference. So 9 points available. East Fife can still catch Dumbarton, but you're looking at East Fife winning all 3 games and Dumbarton losing all 3 games as well. A point would probably be enough for Dumbarton to avoid 10th, but because of that massive goal difference. But in terms of Peter Hayes' point of view, you know, just a point behind Clyde New as well. So, you know, we're now instead of maybe looking behind and saying, well, let's keep away from ninth, we'll try and catch up and get ahead of Clyde New as well.
Would you be saying that if it was any other team other than Clyde looking up?
No, I genuinely think that, you know, if we can get up into seventh, I mean, that would it would be a really good end to the season considering how where we've been.
Yeah, it's been a topsy-turvy season. I think the, you know, the first 10 games were looking, you know, we actually spoke off air about maybe potential promotion playoffs, you know, because we had a decent start, and then, you know, things went slightly awry for there. But I think staying up this season was the main thing. I still think that should be the minimum target of, you know, staying up by being 8th place or above. But I think if we can get 7th and overtake Clyde, I think that would just show a really good end of season form. But we've got some tough games coming up as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, we've obviously got 3 games left. 4 points, I reckon, should be enough. Obviously, that's going with the fact that Dumbarton's going to win their 3 games, but I know, I think 4 points in the next 2 should be enough.
Yeah, I've had in my head that if we beat East Fife, that would be enough. I think we've got Queen's Park Saturday, then East Fife, and then we've got Airdrie away. I've said that before, I certainly don't want to be going into the Airdrie game needing something away from home, depending on how they are with COVID at the top.
Yeah, so the Clyde, they've got Montrose at home, Airdrie at home, and Dumbarton away. So that could be a crucial game at the end of the season. Dumbarton have Airdrie away, Cove away, and Clyde at home. So Airdrie's going to have a lot to say in this, last 3 games. But, I mean, Dumbarton, they've got the top 2, and then Clyde, which, you know, that could be a big game, but they've got to beat either Cove or Airdrie first.
Yeah, I can't see them beating either, to be honest. I think the fact that obviously Airdrie and Clyde are battling it out at the top as well, I think, you know, they've got a huge say in how the table's going to finish. But I, as much as I'd love it to come down to Clyde and Dumbarton the last game of the season and us being clear, I just think it'll be too little too late for them.
Yeah, I think realistically, I think by 5 o'clock on Saturday, I think ninth place could be pretty much done and dusted. I really kind of see Dumbarton getting anything at Airdrie, and I think even, you know, we'll speak of the Queen's Park game, but I think we could generally win that game, and that could be enough to seal that place for League One again next season.
Yeah, Queen's Park have been a wee bit up and down this season. They've never really maintained any sort of form. Ken Owen Coyle's come in new and he's got to try and change things, but overall, and I've been that impressed with Queen's Park. Now that I've said that, they'll probably put 3 or 4 passes on Saturday, but no, I genuinely think that we do have a chance, as you've just said, and if we can get a result on Saturday combined with Dumbarton losing, I think it would all just be done.
Yeah, even I think again, even a point again psychologically might be good, because if Clyde lose their game, we draw, we'll go above Clyde on goal difference. So again, just that psychological thing of, well, that's us up into 7th through, and we're just stretching that gap again over Dumbarton.
Yeah, pressure affects people in different ways, and as you said, psychologically, looking at a table, if Clyde drop a place in Dumbarton and they won again, you know, strange things can happen in football, especially this time of the season as well. I don't know, rule nothing out.
So we'll watch what's happening elsewhere again Saturday, but Queen's Park is our first port of call and we're back-to-back home games as we come towards the end of the season then. They've now secured the final playoff spot. Don't know if that means it's going to be a good thing or a bad thing for us. They are 6 behind Montrose, so I mean, in terms of the actual games that they play, I mean, if they finish 4th, they'll obviously play 9th in the Championship, so they'll obviously like to try and avoid that. I mean, realistically, they're probably too far behind, but they've still got something to play for in that kind of sense.
Yeah, I just think 6 points is too much to bridge with just 3 games to go. Like I said, I think Queen's form's been up and down the whole season. I think they've really maintained any sort of consistent form. Like a lot of the teams in the division, they've all been picking up points against each other, but I think 6 points at this stage of the season is just going to be too much for them to bridge.
And the games between the two sides then, it has His favourite, the home side, I'm going to jinx it straight away. Obviously, Queen's Park, they've won the two down there, 3-2 and 2-1, and obviously we won up here 2-1 back in November. So, if that continues, I say if that continues, we should be looking at another 3 points.
But that was one of our better performances at home as well against Queen's Park, the 2-1 win.
Yeah, we were 1-0 doing that game as well. So, yeah. I mean, it just shows you how things can change.
Yeah, like I said, Queens, I've never really found them that brilliant in the division. I've got to be honest with the backing they've got and some of the players that they've got in their team. I did think they would have a better campaign than what they've had. That's not to say that when I get promoted, I just think overall they haven't been as good as what they maybe have liked to have been. But from a point of view, we've got previous, as you said, we went a goal down against them at home last time in November, came back to win the game. The fact that I think we're one win away from, you know, securing our status in the division, I think that should be enough motivation for the players and the management squad to try and get the win on Saturday.
And they've almost kind of stumbled into the playoffs. They've crossed the line eventually, but they probably should have done it a lot longer. And 3 wins in the last 6, they have picked up a little bit of form as well. But they've only conceded 4 goals and they've scored 7 in that 6 games as well. So it probably will be another tight game. It'll be a game where I think chances will be limited, so if we do get any, and I'm sure we will, we need to take them.
It'll be a game that there'll be many chances in it. I think both teams, it'll be quite a midfield battle. It's probably the ideal game if Simon Ferry's fit to come back in and just sort of dictate the play in the middle of the park. But as you said, once chances do come along, we've got to be in a position to take it. So whether that means that Russell McLean starts again, in my opinion, goes wide, and you've got the ability of Ryan Duncan at the other side, I think, you know, we've got players there that can cause Queen's problem. We've just got to be careful on the break that they've got as well.
You mentioned Ferry there. Ferry, Richie and McDonald were all missing for Saturday's game. All three could be back and available, so if they're fit and ready to go, do all three play? 2 out of 3 or 1 out of 3? How would you go about it?
2 out of 3. I think Hamish and Simon would come in. With the greatest respect to Andy McDonald, I think he's struggled last month or so. And I think some of our defensive problems have maybe come down his side, or a communication error for his part. So I think, for me, Simon and Hamish would come in, and maybe Andy taking a place on the bench.
It is good that we've got so many good players, quality players, whereas maybe the first kind of couple of seasons that we started Dinas, it was almost a case of, well, we've got an 11 plus 5 or 6 on the bench, and that was it. There is a quality there. So for these guys, if they are out of the team through, you know, injuries or whatever it is, suspensions, it's maybe not just as easy or straightforward for them to get back into the side.
No, and I think that's maybe far the fan frustration comes from. We've got quality in the squad. We just didn't see it often enough. We'll maybe see it in flashes in the pan or a couple of games here and there, but it's doing it on that made of a consistent basis. In utilising the squad and the formations that we've got better than sometimes I think we do. But as you rightly touched on, I think when a player drops out for whatever reason, I don't think that I was guaranteed to get back into the squad.
Jack Brown, worthy of a start, do you think?
I don't think he's done anything particularly wrong in previous weeks, but I think if you've got like so Hamish Ritchie, Scott Brown, Simon Ferry, Andy McCarthy, I would think Jack would maybe one of them players that would, you know, keep a place on the bench, if I'm being honest.
And McLean and Payne should start as well, eh?
I would think so. I think you'd go McLean up top and Naya wide left. I think the goals that Rusty gives you, and plus the fact that he scored last week, his confidence will be high, and you've got the work rate of Naya Payne. I think you would be foolish to drop Naya, because I think he gives you a lot within the game. Although he doesn't maybe get you many goals, as you said earlier, his assists and his work rate kind of go unnoticed.
So we'll be looking for a Dumbarton loss and a Peterhead win, and that should just about get to keep us up.
Yeah, I would think so. As you said, if looking after ourselves, if we get a win, we'd just about be there, and hopefully Dumbarton lose as well, just to cap off a nice afternoon, I should say.
And just 3 games to go. Incredibly, this is the third season with Medina, so we're actually, I don't know what a joke said, we're only 3 games to go, but we're actually going to get a full season out of this.
You've jinxed it. You've just jinxed it.
Uninterrupted. Well, surely we're going to end the season before the 30th of April. But no, it's just amazing. The last 2 years have gone. What we've gone through in terms of, you know, the COVID and all the suspensions and last season and things like that, and it's just incredible. The 3 years we've been DNS nearly, and this is our first full season.
Yeah, it's remarkable. I think about. I still blame Ann Budge, league reconstruction. If people remember that far back, it's amazing. I think that, as you said, we're third season and we're just about going to get a full season. But hopefully at the end of the season, it's one that we've stayed up in.
Yeah, and we'll hopefully look forward to another one in League One. But on that note, on this rather shorter episode than normal, we'll be back again next week. So hopefully you've enjoyed it again this week. As always, my thanks goes to Martin for joining me. We'll be back again next week. So until then, on behalf of Martin Smith and myself, Colin Byles, thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll see you all again very soon. Cheers.